You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now and who now? You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Busy, busy, busy day. We talked about, in the second hour, we talked, Bill Beard just called in with the horrendous experience of voting in the Kazaris Kelly, Constance Hargrove, Pima County voting nightmare in the mock election. If you missed that, go to kvoi.com. Before that, we talked about Brandon Martin, who had a good idea when he said, hey, we were talking about we should do a debate with all the CD6 candidates. And I said, that's a good idea, Brandon. And I reached out to Billy Maynard and the crew at the Northwest Republican Association. And we put on a heck of a debate last Monday. And, Brandon was doing pretty good, lost a little bit at the end. And then he cried to little Timmy and said that it was a sham and a setup. So all of you people who participated from the Northwest Republican Association, Brandon Martin believes that all of you participated or perpetrated a sham and a setup on him. So remember that when you go to the ballot box. So just keep scaring more people away from you, Brandon. I'm sure it'll all work at the end. And then we started talking about Roe v. Wade. We talked about the Dobbs decision Friday that was released from the Supreme Court, the one that started a little early where someone leaked this massive decision. And then it was basically okay for people to threaten the lives and attempt to murder Supreme Court justices like we live in. Is this like the Sinaloa cartel? Is that what we're doing here? And I had a sitting United States president. Well, he doesn't even know if he's wearing, his or Dr. Jill's underwear half the time. So that it never coming out and condemning it. Right. Let's bring on Brother Joe while we're here. Brother Joe, how are you doing, my friend?
Good morning. Just started the day right talking to Brother Matt.
He's always a bright ray of sunshine.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to do it more often.
Well, we were just, I was just doing a little bit of a review of the Dobbs case. We talked about how the, if you're pro-life, you got to thank all of the Democrats who helped make this possible, right? Number one, Harry Reid for changing the rules of the Senate that you needed just a simple majority, right, to approve a judge. Number two, Barack Obama shooting off his mouth about Donald Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, prompting a presidential run, right? The idea that in the end on this case, if you look at it in a couple of the stories, you'll say that the centers of this is based on the legal side of it, right? It was a legally crap decision to begin with, and even they didn't argue it too much on the legal side, all right? And and so here we are, and you and I have known, and so many people that have been active in the pro-life movement, especially us being cradle Catholics. Let's do a Tom Tude here. What's your reflections on what happened Friday and leading up to it and where we're at now?
You want the gut feeling, right?
Yeah, I want the gut feeling. This is all private stuff between me and Joe.
Besides the ineptitude of our leaders, this miraculously happened. And, as a person, even though I'm Catholic, but I'm probably a radical Orthodox Catholic. I also can give credit where credit's due. Somehow, God decided to work through Donald Trump to make this possible, to get sensible people on the Supreme Court. And, Chris, this whole life question is critical for voting. But not for some of the reasons that you're hearing on the mainstream media. First of all, the left's recollection of history is wrong. So this new outfit it has, reproductive rights for women and all these things you're hearing. I believe it goes back into the 70s and one of our prominent citizens, Margaret Sanger. And Margaret had a dream of, exterminating a part of the American population through abortion.
Margaret, of course, being the grand dame of Planned Parenthood, spent some really nice formative years here in Tucson, Arizona.
And the left would be mortified that she was not favorable to babies of Black Americans, African Black Americans, and that that was part of the planning plan.
I was going to say the other thing too, right, is they keep saying that abortion is a constitutional right. Somehow these people on the blew up their constitutional right to an abortion where it was never a constitutional right. Right?
Absolutely right. But you see, the left has no recollection of the truth. And so if they can indoctrinate the young and the foolish, that as they pick up their cell phone, that's, they have no thinking, but they look what their cell phone tells them, the oracle of truth. And right. They've been told their constitutional rights and their reproductive rights. But, you know, extinguishing a life was never about reproduction, was it?
But. What I was going to say is too, right, is now that, I guess the question I have for you is, now that this is done, right, now we're at, now the Democrats are going to actually have to, if they really want, they're going to have to work state by state to get it done, where the majority opinion of a bunch of old white guys in the early 70s, that prevented them, they didn't have to do that, let them not do that. So now they're going to have to work. But, you know, I was talking about earlier is the people on the pro-life side, there's two things I think they need to do, Joe. I think they need to get the word out about some of this revisionist history that's getting thrown out right there right now. Because if you keep telling the lie more and more, people will believe it. And then number two is, you know, I think the stance that the pro-life people have to take is, now that there's not going to be as much abortion on demand out there, is don't we have to kind of increase the pro-life side have to increase their capacity for taking care of these young women, making them understand that there's options out there? Like, what I'm saying is, for the pro-life side, is the battle is just beginning. The work's just beginning.
That's right. See, being a conservative, I'm an independent, but I really am a conservative. It goes to the states. And now the states have to do two things. They have to kind of come to an agreement where life begins. What are we going to do to help children in need? They almost become like welfare. So when does, you know, and can we make exceptions? 1% has been the national statistic for rape and, you know, pregnancy crisis. So, you know, from a political stance, not a radical Catholic stance, but a political stance, could those exceptions possibly be made? Does life begin at conception? I believe it does, but maybe for, you know, is it a month? Is it 2 months? Is it 3 months? Of course, the radical left wants to go beyond the 9 months. The kids arrived. And they want to quietly terminate the life. So at what point, you know, is that a breathing, living citizen? And so states now are going to have to determine it, where, you see, here's the bigger picture. If you don't value life of the infant, then think about it, Chris. At what point don't we value the life of our senior citizens that are using up a lot of money and resources? I think, what do they say, the last 6 months of a person's life, they burn through at least, I don't know, $600,000-$800,000 of Medicare.
Yes.
And so at what point do we say, you know, to quote the old movie, the Michael Douglas movie, Falling Down, if the infant is economically unviable, when does the elder person become economically inviable, right? When does that become a bad financial decision? And so when do we start exterminating our older people?
Well, again,
save Medicare.
We always talk about the Evangelium Vitae by John Paul II, right? Is talking about in relation to the preciousness of all life, right? And you know why do Catholics believe in the sanctity of life, right? And it's such a good overall coverage of all these from birth to death, right? And you know, again, it's kind of where there's a huge big picture here culturally and societally that needs to be fixed, or at least we got to get better on that respect for life, because people don't have respect for their own lives, let alone others.
And so you just can't go to the conversation and people say, well, it's a woman's decision, you know, it's their decision. Well, it doesn't quite work that way. There's too many consequences.
Well, at the same time, the men who are impregnating these women also, right? There's so many things here on what are they, you know, they're part of this too, right? They always say, well, what about the father doesn't want to have the abortion? Was the father around? I mean, that's the other part of this, right? The amount of kids born out of wedlock. This is a huge thing. It's just not this one thing, right? And it's going to take a long while back, because it's taken us a while to get there.
However, it may sew together our society again to how it used to be before the 70s, before all this craziness. And I think our political candidates, they don't have to be radical about this. I mean, they could just basically say, we're pro-life at all stages. We're going to defend the weakest of our citizens. We're out to fight for all of our constituents. And we're not interested in deciding who lives and who dies.
All right. Sorry, we're running late. We got to go to break. It's almost 8:20 in the morning. Brother Joe, Christy, Simone, and you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. 790-2040 if you want to jump in on the conversation. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. I do have a consumer protection announcement for everybody. Because a lot of you shop at Costco, there's this thing called the Sun Villa Umbrella Light that it lights up the inside of your patio umbrella. Supposedly they're catching on fire and torching your, they've had 8 of these things or something like that. So anyway, just want to tell you, if you bought one of these things, your backyard umbrella might catch on fire. So they'll give you your refund and all that other stuff. So you think just your electric vehicles with your golf cart. So those electric bikes were catching on fire because of the batteries, right? Watch out for your Sun Villa, as we like to say. Brother Joe, welcome back, sir.
Great to be back.
Tell us about what are we looking in the world of the markets lately? We know it's been a little bit of a weird and wacky ride. What are you seeing out there?
Well, I mean, there's no shortage of market commentary, but you know, I was talking to one of our good clients as we were heading up that big hill there by A Mountain, Tomac Hill. It's a beautiful hill. A lot of people climb it. It's like a vertical climb, 3 miles round trip. It's very simple. There's a lot of opinions. And I mean, certainly Wall Street is always desperate to get people's money and keep telling them the story that everything's fine. I mean, Wall Street is such a marketing machine. We look at it this way as we were climbing the hill. It's in basically a stage 4. The stock chart. If you look at the stock chart, and for you people that follow it, it sharply broke, the S&P 500 sharply broke the 30-week moving average. The 30-week moving average is also trending down. So this is all ominous news for what's coming ahead. Yeah, there can be, what do we say? It bounce backs, you know, it's going up on its way down. And, you know, you'll get some of those days where you feel, oh, the market's back. But until it reclaims that position on the 30-week moving average, you don't on a weekly chart, you don't really have a bull market to talk about. You know, it might be interesting on a weekly chart if it could break the 10-day, the 10 moving average. But, you know, it's like we say, Wall Street is a great money marketing machine. It sells dreams, and a lot of people are dreaming that inflation's not so bad, Joe Biden's not so bad, Apple's going to sell more phones, people are going to really plug into Facebook, yada, 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 the whole story all over again. And that the Federal Reserve is not going to raise interest rates anymore. It's a tall order. But I would say, you know, besides the technical analysis of the 30-week moving average and the relative strength line on a 30-week trending down, this abortion thing, we're due for some kind of civil unrest. The government's not stable, you know. They're not stable monetarily, and now they're not going to be stable civically. You know, I'll give you two examples.
We got about 30 seconds.
Russia defaulted on its debt, on some of its debt. Oh, it's only $100 million, but that will have a seismic. That could have a seismic ripple through all the banks because, as we said before, your bank doesn't have your money. It's all leveraged on 500 other banks. So we haven't taken in systemic risk that the Russia crisis and the Asia contagion, which I'm sure a lot of young people, they can't remember that because they can't remember what happened yesterday. That was a big deal. And then civil unrest, chasing down Supreme Court justices. It's just one step away from somebody doing something crazy. That would be very regretful.
Oh, and then we got grain shortages that are going to come out of, you know, Ukraine not actually planting any grain because there's a war going on. We got all that going on. We come back. I want to talk to you about a thing about 58% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30. Let's.
Trogs by request. Every garage band's for song, right?
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. I always love when they crank this music when Wild Thing Rick Vaughn came in out of the bullpen in Major League. Very good scene. I was just talking to Orlando and Gaston over on Poderosa during our break here. So talking about the trials and travails of doing border crossings. Nogales and Rocky Point, we're sharing some good stories. Let's go back to the phones. Brother Joe, good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So I saw this story on CNBC, and it kind of reminded me of discussions we've had before. Sometimes various clients or people that are referred to us, but we always say, so let me give you this. This is from 58... It says 58% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, right? And then it said 30% of those earn $250,000 or more a year, right? And so we've heard this, you know, some people go, well, if you're making $250,000, how can you be living paycheck to paycheck? And you and I have seen this because we've worked with various clients on their cash flow thing. Is there's people that just got a lot of money going out at the same time, right? Even though you're making $250,000, they have just as big a cash flow problems as other people, don't they?
Goes back to your family bank 101. It's just people can't help it. As they make more money, they're going to spend it on more things. Their spending moves up with their earnings. So they're net negative because they're consumers, not savers.
Well, and then if you throw in a divorce from a previous marriage and paying that off, or alimony or things like that, that can also eat up cash flow, just kind of exacerbate that situation. So when you work with people, blue chip planning, they talk about their cash flow is not so great. What are some of the obvious culprits that might be a place that they could be looking at to make cash flow a little better?
I think it goes down to the philosophically from that great book, The Richest Man in Babylon, that our old general agent at the Knights of Columbus had us read, that every paycheck you get, no matter how large, small, or in between, 10% of your paycheck goes into some savings. Pick any savings. It could be a savings account. It could be some kind of investment, but 10%. So if you make $1,000, you're going to take $100 off the top, and then you're going to live on $900. But consumerism has it with all this easy credit. You know, you walk into the T-Mobile store and you buy a phone cord or some accessory for $30. They want to finance it over 48 months with you. You know, and you're like, why would I finance it 48 months? Why don't I just pay for it? So if somebody, the same person is making $1,000, it's easy that they can spend $2,000 just because of easy credit. And it happens oh so quickly, oh so quietly, as they part you from your money. It's like Las Vegas. They easily and friendly, in a friendly way, they part you from your money.
And again, it kind of goes back to some of our stuff, your family bank, Ramsey, of course, right, in relation to, you know, the debt is a big, just like the federal government, the debt's a big drain on your cash flow. Except we can't print more money.
Well, the debt, someday the we're seeing it. It's like the interest has to keep going up because nobody's going to want to buy our bonds. That's the danger. That's why the Federal Reserve has a dual mandate. So if people are stuck in $50,000, $100,000 debt, you know, the interest rate they're paying today could be a lot higher than it was a year ago. And it could be much higher 5 years from now. And I'm not talking about mortgages. I'm just talking about consumer debt, buying things and buying it on credit. So it's nothing new, but it goes back to the fact that people will not take 10% of their check and just put, if you did that, if you just take 10% of your check religiously, you'll be in the top 10% of financial people. You'll always have money. You might not be the richest person, you know, in the graveyard, but you'll always have money, and you'll never be wanting.
We were talking about that statistic for savings rate, where we say, "Oh, Americans save." And as over the years of doing this show, we always talk about the savings rate can be negative because you've financed so much.
And then people say, "Well, I'm doing my 401k, and I'm getting a tax deduction." Well, you're doing it, but the government holds up to 40% of it. And it's amazing, Chris. You talk to people in their 70s, they can't believe it's taxed. They never understood, wow, I have all this tax on it. Because your 401k never was just about you. It was about you and your partner, Uncle Sam.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Plus, you know, if you needed to buy a car, if you needed an emergency, if you needed to pay your house off early, you can't, because many times you got a 10% penalty, and it's 100% taxable. So it's not a very good savings plan for everyday life.
So I know we're talking to clients who want to move money to some, I like the phrase, safe harbors in what's going on right now with the markets. And was it a CD from one of the banks? I'm trying to remember. It was this amazingly low rate. Was that you telling me about that?
Amazingly low rate?
Yeah. I forgot which. I thought it was a bank. You know, I always love looking at the bank rates on
I think it was like a 5-year CD for half a 1%. It was some wonderful figure like that.
So some people who are listening right now who want to move to some safe harbors and have that discussion with the blue chip planners that we are, what's a couple of the options that they have out there?
We'll keep it real country simple. You know, we have, with our fixed annuities, you can lock your money in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or five. So if you only want a 2-year commitment, you'll love it. You'll love it. You know, we use old fashioned carriers. We use a lot of fraternals. We use well rated carriers. I think the last time I looked at 2 years was in the neighborhood of 3%, maybe a little under 3% for a 2-year commitment, as opposed to you're getting nothing, you know, absolutely nothing in the bank. And then there's another program which is at, it's going to go up higher here. It's going to be pushing 4% in July, and that will change every quarter. That will change quarterly as the interest rates go up. So, I mean, right now, some of these old stodgy fraternal insurance companies that have a great bond portfolio, they're buying the bonds for you. They're giving you a great rate. And you know what the biggest benefit is? Unlike bonds, if when interest rates go up, people are going to continue to lose on their bonds. But with the annuities, as interest rates go up, they're going to get a raise in interest rate, and they're not going to lose the value of their annuity. So when you look at annuities versus bonds in a rising interest rate environment, you know, whether you like the name annuity or you heard or somebody said, these things work because you're going to get higher interest rate as early as each quarter, but you're not going to have the value of your investment go down like you've seen in your bonds when you look at your Wall Street statements. And you say, oh, gee, I was in bonds. It's safe. Well, how did I lose? You're losing in bonds because, A, you're not in very probably the best bonds. You're probably in lower than B++. But besides the point, interest rates go up, your bond value is going to lose, especially in those little bond mutual funds. Your cookie cutter guy at these financial supermarkets has you in. The same guy that's never experienced a bear market. Whereas if you can lock in with the annuity, you can lock in as low as 2 years and have that safety that at the end of 2 years, hey, I can get all my money back, plus I had this interest. If you need the income, it'll pay you monthly. Or if you don't need the income, you can tax defer that income for 2 years. You don't have to pay tax on it.
So check out, give us a call, 600-7307, 520-600-7307, or check out bluechipplan.com. All right, sir, thanks for a good time as always. Thanks for your input and discussion, and I will talk to you soon.
Hope to see you at the tavern behind Games and Gadgets.
Actually, you were there yesterday too, right? So I was there yesterday, and you saw my self-promoting video and made it happen. So that was good. The DeSimone boys were there.
Good place. It's a good place to go. So I've been there several times.
Awesome. All right, my friend. Have a good day.
Take care.
Brother Joe, Blue Chip Planning, 600-7307. All right, let's go to break. I gotta jump on Steve Kozacik's head when we come back. This is too good, because when you read his walk it back press release and what he said to Chorus Nylander, it's pretty interesting. That's all. Just say interesting. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
KT Turnsall, by request.
Christian Schmidt, Wake Up, Tucson intern, public administration city planner extraordinaire, exposed us to that song by They Might Be Giants called We Live in a Dump. Let's talk about one of the production managers of that dump, Steve Kozacik. So he was on with Chorus Nylander. Hey, let's stretch tees for another day. Okay,
easy.
So we'll definitely do that tomorrow. So Corus Nylander had a story about...
I'm trying to find this, actually.
So it's actually... It's Planned Parenthood Stops Abortions in Arizona is what it's called. It's not... It says Planned Parenthood Stops Abortions in Arizona after Roe v. Wade. That's the headline, okay? And so we know that Steve Kozacik thinks he's the smartest guy in the world, right? And of course he's not, okay? But here we go.
Spoiler alert.
In addition, this is us direct. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kozacik confirmed. Listen to the words here. Confirmed Friday that the city of Tucson is in process of giving land to the Pasquayaki tribe with the intention of the tribe inviting Planned Parenthood to set up, you're going to love this, the abortion safe haven.
Wow.
Kozacik said Supreme Court ruling has no jurisdiction over the tribal land, which would allow legal abortions to be held in Arizona if permitted by the tribe. So a friend of mine who does a lot of work with the Pasquayaki, she hit me with a ball of fire on this. He's a lion, blah, blah, blah. She went through the whole thing, and he, you know, the tribe's going to, whatever, is going to be pissed off, all of this stuff. Then... Gloria sent me the newsletter, Walk It Back. The Roe v. Wade correction was how Steve headlined it. How about I screwed up, Steve? That's what you should say. So he says, the law on this is complex and evolving. That's always a great line when you hear the situation is complex and evolving. Love it.
Corus needs to pull on this one. He needs to pull on this thread because he said he confirmed, and then Kozacik goes on to say that, oh, there was no conversations at all.
Right.
That was just me thinking out loud.
So check this out. He says, this is Kozacik. This is a direct quote from his... The problem is that there is a law that makes clear that the United States prohibits tribes from exercising criminal jurisdiction over non-Indian United States citizens, except in very limited circumstances. Okay? So that kind of kills the whole deal there. Sorry, Steve. Okay? To be clear, this is Steve now. To be clear, the comment I made to KVOA was not grounded in solid legal counsel, and was not based on conversations that have taken place between me, city legal authority, and any representative from the tribe.
Which means they were. They had to have been. Come on, Steve.
So in the end, does this seem like Steve always wants to be the guy out on the lead? Right? So he shot his mouth off knowing that this was going on in the background. And he was so pissed by the Supreme Court decision that when Corus Nylander calls him up, he says, Kozacik confirmed Friday the city is in process of giving land to the Pasquayaki tribe with the intention of the inviting Planned Parenthood to set up an abortion safe haven. Period. Okay? That's amazing. So Steve either lied to Corus Nylander the first time, or he shot his mouth off too soon, and people from the tribe and possibly the Requena stepped on his you know what?
Toes.
Yeah, toes. Toes. Thank you, sir. That's what it sure sounds like. Steve's ego is amazing.
And Corus just gave him the big old ball of the cheese, the spray cheese power bait, and Steve just went on that, you know.
Right. And so we need to hear from. So you're right. Corus needs to go back to him and said, you said it. You confirmed with me that this was going on. What? Why would you say that?
Corus needs to pull on this thread, man.
We shall see, young Jedi. Tomorrow, when Bruce is here, we got to talk about the Arizona legislature passing ESA expansion, which is huge. Huge.
I mean, because if they could do stuff on tribal, I'm sorry to interrupt, but
please.
If they could do stuff on tribal land, they could just open up printing presses and print greenbacks.
Right.
If they were exempt from all laws.
Correct.
Right?
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. We'll also get to a Derek Thompson piece in The Atlantic that's called Air Travel's a Disaster Right Now, and Here's Why. Now, I'm not going to go on a plane anytime soon. I wasn't, you know, with all the masking and all that stuff, I was already off it. I need to, maybe over the next couple of days, you guys can tell me if you flew anywhere, you know, more, you know, what's that looking like? It sounds like everyone's having a nightmare of canceled flights and all this stuff, and it ain't cheap. I had a friend of mine with 2 weeks, outside of 2 weeks, easy to go to D.C., and they wanted $1,500 from Tucson to D.C. And it's so the rates are crazy.
And if you have anything other than a nonstop, good right. luck, because connections are a bad thing right now.
Right. You don't know if that second plane's showing
right.
up.
Right. And if you make the first flight, the second one may get canceled. It's or if the first one's delayed, you may miss the second one.
Right.
It's a mess right now.
So we'll talk about that tomorrow when Bruce is here. We have so much to cover. Now, I did send Matt and Ed a picture yesterday. So I went to the mall, and there's a place called Red Herring Puppets. Okay? So I said, Ed Alexander, our great friend, is a puppet guy. He's got a puppet problem, as we say. And all I can tell you is, I want to tell you, this is something that I scored as a director of economic development for Pliskin Acres.
You're taking the credit for that one?
Absolutely. I'm the head of that department. And it was and you were right. It was definitely the mother of all G-plets, right? And Jell-O had to bring a bunch of money in the bag to pay this crap off, right? So then this is Ed, the puppet guy, says, this place is so spooky when you walk by, dark and creepy. And then he went, brrr. It does have some spooky stuff in the windows. I'm going to have a couple of nightmares about that. So, all right, if you missed anything we talked about today, the Dobbs case, Brandon Martin crying like a little baby to little Timmy, all that stuff, go to KVOI.com. So we'll see you in 21 hours. Weird, wacky, and wild.